Program was prepared by William Orem with help from Stephen Gervin. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. I'm Don Glass.
The Chicago Bulls have traded guard Larry Hughes to the New York Knicks for forward Tim Thomas. Bulls coach Vinny Del Negro announced the trade today. Neither team would say whether additional players were involved. The Bulls acquired Thomas from the Knicks before the 2005 season, but he only played three games with them. Chicago sent him home that December and waived him in March. Pacers scoring leader Danny Granger is scheduled to have an MRI today, leaving him in doubt for the Pacers game at Minnesota tomorrow night. Granger sprained his right foot early in the second quarter against Charlotte last night. The Pacers lost that game 103-94. The Nashville Predators and the St. Louis Blues face off in Tennessee today. The Chicago Blackhawks continue their hunt for a playoff spot when they visit the Florida Panthers tonight. And Indiana State plans to build a new 2,500-seat baseball stadium on the site of the current Sycamore Field. ISU Athletic Director Ron Prettyman says plans call for 1,500 stadium seats and 1,000 bleacher seats. The current capacity of Sycamore Field is 2,000. Prettyman says a new stadium may also help Terre Haute attract a minor league professional baseball team. He says the new stadium will cost between $1.5 and $2 million. Construction will be financed through the ISU Foundation and private donations, and naming rights to the new stadium may be offered. The new stadium should be ready in time for the baseball season of 2010, next year. That's a look at sports news.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering a wide selection of guaranteed, hand-knotted, oriental, and Persian rugs. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. 1402 South Neal in Champaign.
The Federal Reserve has issued a bleak economic forecast. In fact, the view is grimmer than previously believed. More from NPR's Wendy Kaufman.
As recently as October of last year, officials at the Federal Reserve were forecasting economic growth in 2009. Now, most believe the U.S. economy, as measured by GDP, will contract between 0.5% and 1.3%.
So that's a very significant change.
Brian Bethune is a senior economist at IHS Global Insights.
The economy is contracting, and is contracting due to very weak domestic demand, but also the overseas markets have turned extremely weak.
The latest assessment released yesterday is contained in minutes from the late January meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee. Fed officials saw a significant risk. The economic recovery would be delayed and initially slow to catch on. On the inflation front, consumers may be heartened to hear that policymakers estimate that long-term inflation will remain low, about 2%. Some economists are skeptical and believe record U.S. deficits and other factors could cause prices to spiral upward in the future. But Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said yesterday that he expected inflation to be, quote, quite low for some time. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
The president's economic plan depends on support from congressional Democrats. Some of them are involved in the controversy that we hear about next. One of Washington's most powerful and successful lobbying firms may close its doors. NPR's Peter Overby has more.
The PMA Group was founded 20 years ago by Paul Magliocchetti. He had worked for John Murtha. The firm has specialized in lobbying the House Appropriations Committee. Murtha chairs the subcommittee on defense there, and PMA has ties to other committee Democrats. The firm made nearly $114 million in lobbying fees over the past 10 years. That's according to the Center for Responsive Politics. And its clients have done very well. In fiscal 2008, they got a total of 154 earmarks, special spending provisions that appropriators wrote just for them. But at the end of 2008, two things happened. Within PMA, the principals couldn't agree over financial terms as Magliocchetti moved toward retirement. PMA's lobbyists began heading for the exit. And in November, FBI agents came into the office to cart off boxes of documents. Now PMA is all but defunct. Some lawmakers are divesting themselves of contributions from PMA donors, and the case delivers a jarring blow to congressional Democrats. After all, they won control of Capitol Hill in 2006 as they promised to drain the swamp of Republican corruption. Keith Ashdown tracks legislative earmarks at the watchdog group Taxpayers for Common Sense.
Well, this looks like the same old politics that the Republicans were playing, where they were playing a system of pay-to-play. You give us a donation, we'll give you an earmark.
Murtha has made a career of using earmarks to bring home jobs. Many defense contractors have facilities in his district in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's also true that his campaign war chest is top-heavy with contributions from PMA clients. Again, Keith Ashdown.
Money sloshes around Washington. I mean, I think we all know that. What we have learned is that 14 House Democrats, PMA Group was their number one contributor.
And that's where one of the problems starts. The corporation itself can't give. The money came from PMA's 35 employees and from its political action committee. Among the PMA donors were two of its board members, friends of Magliacetti, actually, down in Florida, where he has a beach condo. In campaign reports, contributions from the two Floridians often appear to be perfectly coordinated. Same day, same dollar amount, same recipient. That could suggest that the firm was making the contributions in their names, which would be illegal. And that's caused some Democrats to worry. Jim Moran from Northern Virginia wrote 8 earmarks for PMA clients in the 2008 budget. His office says he's closely following the situation with the contributions, but he won't act, quote, until there's clear evidence something improper occurred. Another big beneficiary of PMA contributions is Pennsylvania's Christopher Carney, a protege of Murtha's. His communications director says, quote, if the authorities find any donation to be improper, we will immediately give that contribution to charity. Zoe Lofgren of California chairs the House Ethics Committee. The PMA group's PAC gave her $7,000 over the past decade. She's issued a statement that she's returning the money, but, quote, without making any comment to the veracity of the allegations against PMA Group. Murtha's office didn't respond to phone and email messages yesterday. At the University of Maryland, Paul Hernson has examined the interaction of lobbying and campaign money. He says many lobbyists will come to one conclusion: it pays to give.
After all, if I am seen by a member of Congress who's in a powerful position as a member of their reelection team, they also might be more likely to consider me a member of their policy team.
The PMA probe is unconnected, so far at least, to a federal investigation in Murtha's home district. Last month, agents from the FBI, IRS, and the Pentagon's Inspector General raided the properties of Kuchera Industries, another recipient of earmarks for Murtha. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
In a movie, everything has been designed by a team that reports to a single person, the production designer. In her annual pre-Oscar look at little-known jobs in the movie industry, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg met the man who designed Iron Man, several Lethal Weapons, and The Goonies.
8 weeks before shooting begins on Iron Man 2, J. Michael Riva has just gotten the first real script, but he does have a list of sets, of plot points. The first item on the list reads, Tony, in the Iron Man armor, pukes in a toilet.
I design a toilet. My big job for the day. After I'm done with that, I can go home and see the kids. Hey, what did you do today? I designed a toilet. That's great, Dad.
As production designer, J. Michael Riva is responsible for the look of the toilet to make sure it fits with the look of everything else in the film, doesn't stick out.
It's like a marionette theater. You want to look at the puppets, you don't want to look at the strings. So my job is to keep the strings and the hands off camera and keep the puppets doing what they're doing.
There are times when Michael Riva likes to do hands-on work. In The Goonies, a beloved 1985 kid flick that one fan says was the Casablanca of her generation, the kids go in search of lost treasure.
Hey, Mike found a map!
Yeah.
Hey, look, that says 1632. Is that a year or something?
The prop people had made a wonderful map, but Riva thought it looked too new.
So I spent the day in my hotel room dumping coffee on it. I wanted it to have some blood, and we had no paint. So we actually had to cut our fingers and edge the sides of it with blood. Do you do these crazy things? You get so into it, you just, okay, let's cut our fingers.
Oh, my God.
Richard Donner hadn't heard that story. Donner directed The Goonies. He also did Lethal Weapon with Mike Riva and knew his father, a Broadway set designer. Every year, Bill Riva would redesign his son's bedroom.
They would have a motif of some sort. Now, that year that I met Michael, his room was an American desert with tents and cactus. It was a rubber floor that was molded like sand dunes, and there was sand on it. Imagine that inspiration, that creative push to early in life.
There was another family source of inspiration. Michael Riva's grandmother was Marlena Dietrich. They adored each other, went to movies every Sunday. Little Mike Riva, the production designer-to-be, learned a lot from Dietrich, grandma's tricks of the trade.
She never had a really full head of hair, for instance. So she would brush it up or tease it or whatever, this golden mane that she had. And von Sternberg.
That's director Joseph von Sternberg.
Lit her from behind. By hitting her hair, made her look like she had tons of hair.
Grandma Dietrich, he says, was a big lighting freak. Lighting, props, sets, costumes, they all contribute to the look of a movie. The planned visual narrative, Mike Riva calls it.
Commander, do you have some sort of jurisdiction here that I should know about?
My job is to make sure that you do your job.
In the 1992 film A Few Good Men, Tom Cruise and Demi Moore play antagonists trying to make amends over dinner. Riva had to decide where to shoot the scene.
I went one night to this lobster restaurant where they serve you this giant lobster on the table with mallets where you smash the lobster to get at the meat. So it just struck me that this was a perfect thing to do because he's angry at her, she's angry at him, and they're doing to the lobster what they'd like to do to each other. So I took Rob Reiner and Tom Cruise. We all sat around and smashed lobsters for hours. At the end of it, I turned to Rob Reiner and I say, why don't we do it at some place like this? He says, I love it, smashing the lobsters. And so we did it.
Why are you always giving me your resume?
Because I want you to think I'm a good lawyer.
I do.
No, you don't.
Riva and Rob Reiner, Riva and Dick Donner. When it works well, the production designer and the director are joined at the hip. Or really, Donner says, the imagination.
All of a sudden, through their eyes, your vision starts to come to life.
Does it ever end up being better than you imagined it?
90% of the time. They're bringing something fresh into the look, whereas I may have been restrained by the words I was reading in the screenplay.
In 1976, Richard Donner directed Superman, the first modern superhero movie. He and production designer John Barry prowled New York for weeks, desperately hunting for a location for their villain's headquarters.
One day we were taking a train from Grand Central Station, and he just started to yell, oh my God, he started yelling, running around. I said, John, what is it? I thought he was ill. And he said, this is it. I said, I know, this is where we're getting. He said, no. He said, under here is the old Grand Central Station. I said, it is? I was born and brought up in New York. He said, no, you dummy, it's in my mind. And it became Lex Luthor's lair.
How do you choose to congratulate the greatest criminal mind of our time? You tell me that I'm brilliant? Oh, no. That would be too obvious. I grant you. Fiendishly gifted.
Try twisted.
For all the aha discoveries and leaps of imagination, there are times when even the best production designer can go, shall we say, astray. On Lethal Weapon 2, Dick Donner and Mike Riva had very different ideas about the look for an evil ambassador's office. Donner saw it as somber, gray, foreboding.
And I came in the morning and ready to shoot, and the set was Pepto-Bismol. And I'm not a temperamental guy. I like to laugh. I like to enjoy it. And, well, this moment I walked in, I went berserk. And I said, Mike, what the hell is this? He said, I just thought I'd make it different. I said, no, it's too different. It stinks. It's terrible. We get in this terrible argument. Next thing I know, Riva had sent over a bunch of painters.
Donner went for coffee. When he got back, Riva said, don't anybody touch the walls. The new gray and somber colored paint was still wet.
I won because I was the director.
But Richard Donner is the first to admit he can't win without the help of the production designer, the person who takes the work of the cinematographer, the costume designer, the set, prop, lighting people, and so many others, and weaves the magical look of every movie you see. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Earth and Sky.
Thursday, February 19th, 2009, the planet Venus beams at its brightest these next few evenings.
If it's clear, you can't miss Venus in the west at nightfall. Venus is always the third brightest celestial body to light up the heavens after the sun and moon. But this world does vary in brightness as seen from Earth, depending on its phase and distance from us.
Venus shows phases just like the moon. But Venus isn't brightest when we see it as full. Instead, it's brightest, like now, at a crescent phase, at the point where it's about one quarter illuminated by sunlight as seen from our earthly perspective.
Whenever we see Venus at a full phase, it has to be far across the solar system, with its fully lighted hemisphere facing our way at a maximum distance from Earth. That's where Venus was 8 months ago when it reappeared in the evening. Since then, Venus has been moving closer to Earth in its smaller, faster orbit. All the while, its phase has been decreasing, yet its disk, as seen from Earth, has been growing larger as the planet gets nearer.
Disk getting larger, phase getting smaller. The right combination of phase and disk size is occurring right now to cause Venus to be at its brightest in the evening sky.
Watch Venus this evening as it basks in its moment of glory. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
It's 3 minutes before 3 o'clock. Coming up at 3, the world from PRI. Mike Solis, forecast for Illinois and Indiana tonight. In northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with isolated lake-effect snow squalls. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows ranging from 5 in northwestern Illinois to near 25 in the far south. Tomorrow, in northern and western Illinois, increasing cloudiness with a slight chance for scattered snow showers during the afternoon. Elsewhere tomorrow, mostly sunny. The highs ranging from 25 in the north to 48 in far southern Illinois. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, clear to partly cloudy, the low 14, the wind from the west at 8 to 16 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 33, the wind from the west to southwest at 8 to 16 miles per hour. The outlook for tomorrow night, cloudy with snow arriving, the low around 20. Saturday, cloudy with snow. Total snowfall of 3 to 5 inches is possible. The high Saturday, 27. Saturday night, cloudy with some flurries, the low 13. Sunday, mostly cloudy, the high 28. Mike Sola will join us tomorrow in the noon hour of the Afternoon Magazine with his weather forecast for the weekend. Also tomorrow, you'll be able to talk to Mike. So if you have plans to travel this weekend or early next week, you can give us a call and talk